let them know, particularly some of these, your local reps who supported Fast Track.
Senator Wyden, in fact, supported Fast Track, right?
Senator Wyden not only supported Fast Track, Senator Wyden was really the main responsible party for Democratic Party support for Fast Track. So if at the end of the day, if TPP passes, if there's one person who ought to be blamed, it's Ron Wyden. People want to find out more about this issue, they can check our website at tradejustice.net. For people who want to find out more about activism that's already going on in Oregon, a great organization to be in touch with is the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. They can be reached at citizenstrade.org/CTC/Oregon. And finally, if people have any further questions, they can call us at 718-218-4523 or email us at info@tradejustice.net. That's Trade Justice New York Metro. And we are happy to connect people with like-minded people in your own area, so that Oregonians can let Kurt Schrader and Susan Bonamici and so many other elected officials know that this matters to voters and that the voters will watch how they vote on TPP.
We've been talking with Adam Weissman, an organizer with Global Justice for Animals in the Environment and also with Trade Justice New York Metro, about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. An agreement was reached on that by the member nations over the weekend. I want to thank Adam very much. He was calling from a coffee shop in Washington, D.C., so he had a little background noise there. This is Ken Jones with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement in Portland. The walk ends at King Elementary School with a celebration to show solidarity and celebrate survivors of domestic violence. Again, that's the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement, 3920 North Kirby Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees and the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. As usual, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell, retired from International United Auto Workers in Detroit, and I'm currently the vice president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists here in Oregon.
Tonight, our segment will highlight a new publication entitled A Future for Workers, A Contribution from Black Labor. Our guest tonight is Dr. Loretta Johnson, who is the secretary-treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers. Welcome, Dr. Johnson. Okay. All right. It looks like we're still waiting. We're trying to connect with Dr. Johnson. But in the meantime, what I'd like to do is give you an idea of who she is. As I said, she is the secretary treasurer for the American Federation of Teachers. She is a longtime advocate, educator in the community, and she's affiliated with multiple labor organizations and civic organizations, and her passion is education. And she spent her lifetime of trying to improve on education throughout the nation. She's affiliated with A. Philip Randolph. She's affiliated with the NAACP. She was honored as the 2005 Labor Leader of the Year by the Maryland Democratic Party, and Ebony Magazine featured an article on her entitled Blacks of Influence in Unions. So the publication we're here to talk about tonight, again, is called A Future for Workers, A Contribution from Black Labor. And one of the things is this is a recent publication that was put out by multiple labor leaders. Authors contributing to this document are Reverend Terrence Melvin, Coalition of Black Trade Unions President, Fred Raymond, Chairman of the Board for A. Philip Randolph Institute, Bill Fletcher, who's a writer and activist. He's the host of Global Africa. Dr. Stephen Pitt, who's associate chair for the Center of Labor Research. Dr. Jerry Hudson, who's executive vice president for Service Employees International Union. Again, Dr. Loretta Johnson. George Gresham, who's affiliated with SEIU. Dr. William Lucy. Petey Talley, who's affiliated with Ohio AFL-CIO. William Spriggs, who is the chief economist with AFL-CIO. Robin Williams, who is with United Food and Commercial Workers. Anthony Harmon, who's a special assistant to the president of the American Federation of Teachers. Carmen Berkeley, who's the director of Civil and Human Women's Rights of the AFL-CIO. So while we're waiting for the doctor to call back in again, we'll talk a little bit about this publication. As I indicated, all of those individuals put this together, and the idea and the intent about it was to present the document to the National AFL-CIO to give them their point of view of what the state of labor is like in Black neighborhoods. This document seeks to advance a discussion, and so it is a starting document. It is not the end-all to be-all. It is a starting document. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to start the conversation, because in order for labor to survive, we will need to make sure that we're out there doing an outreach to our Black and brown brothers and sisters out in the community. This document speaks in the voice of nearly 2.1 million African Americans who are in the labor movement. The reoccurring theme of the document, again called A Future for Workers, A Contribution from Black Labor, one of the reoccurring themes talks about race. You can't not ask the question about race. It's right there, it's right up front, and it's like the elephant in the room. And so the paper notes that Black workers have been, for the working class as a whole, the canary in the mines. Now, I know a lot of you have heard that phrase before. But again, what that means is what happens to Black workers inevitably affects the bulk of the rest of the working class. And so again, the idea of the paper is to get labor in itself to look at what's happening and to start addressing the issues, because if they don't address the issues, then it'll be really hard to revitalize the labor movement. So another topic that it talks about unemployment rates in the African American communities, and the unemployment rate is at least double that in the white counterparts. And so again, the idea and the intent of this paper is to get labor to look more at what's happening in the Black communities so that we can bring more workers online, because again, we are under attack. And if we don't start looking at what's happening in our brown and Black neighborhoods, then there's no way we're going to be able to survive.
I read the booklet and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And they had a couple of statements in here that I really, really could relate to. And I'd like to read one. It says, our trade union movement must be part of creating a new labor movement. It must be a movement that understands that justice for workers truly means justice for all workers. And certainly the trade movement is about more than just jobs. It's about doing what's right and doing what's fair. Another statement that's written in here, it says, a renovated labor movement must be something that workers see as their instrument for justice and equity. And as I think of that, I just how the importance of women, the percentage of women that are in the workforce, the percentage of minorities in the workforce, all of those are serious concerns in the labor movement. In order for it to increase and to improve in the movement, to excel, it must consider those the equity that all are the rights of everyone is respected, especially women of color, justice, everyone is treated fairly. So in reading this book, I really got a lot of thinking thoughts and something to carry me on. We're all on the same page here. This new labor movement has to be renovated. It has to have a new direction.
So the document also talks about the Achilles heel of organized labor, and what it describes it as a failure to respond to the attacks on blacks, on black workers, and its inability to recognize that black working class is indeed a component of the larger working class and not some marginal category. And so that is a really powerful statement. I work in the government sector, and so in my sector we don't see this a lot, but what as far as equity is concerned, but I believe there's a lot of inequities that might exist in the trades, given as to how the jobs are given to the various union workers.
Some other areas that I picked out from this booklet was, it said the labor movement has always been on the cutting edge of social and economic change. Currently, labor is under a well-financed and well-organized opposition movement. But there is some, it gives some suggestions here, key elements of the agenda. It says, one is to endorse candidates with a 90 to 100% labor voting record only. No lesser of two evils, endorsement. Finding those people, those candidates, putting people in office that support labor, that support worker rights. Another element was organized Southern workers and workers in right-to-work states. I'm from Michigan, and can you believe that's a right-to-work state? That's so important that we organize those workers in those right-to-work states. Another element was ensure leadership and staff to reflect the demographics of membership. Again, we are concerned about equity, that the leadership reflects women, reflects people of color. Again, this book highlighted that it should inject organizers into the community organizing campaigns. And right there, as I think of inject organizers, I think of faith-based institutions. I think of community organizations, how they can be all part of organizing campaigns. Commit to organizing service and low-wage industry work jobs, as they are the largest employing sector. And as you all know, those working at Burger King and McDonald's, they hire a lot of people. So we should work toward organizing those service and low-wage industries. Another element of concern is expand resources and support for international solidarity and organizing campaigns. The International Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we have a lot of work with the Canadians. So we, too, we have to reach out. And then lastly, expand non-discrimination clauses in contracts to represent all workers. So I can understand this booklet is so well written, and I encourage everyone that's in labor to get a copy of it, because it speaks on just about every issue of concern that we have to that we must address in order to expand the labor movement.
In order to get a copy, if you go on the website, the CBTU national website, it is cbtu.org. Again, cbtu.org. You will find, you can get a copy of this document that, again, talks about the state of black workers in the labor movement. We talked to some of the authors who put this booklet together, and basically what they wanted to do was they believed it was inherent upon them to present this report to the AFL-CIO to let them know what the true state of black workers were. Because as we said, in the future or in the past, we have seen a decline in union membership. We've seen how there is a general attack against all union workers. And so in order for us to survive, we really need to look inside ourselves and look at exactly what's going on so that we can get out there and do an outreach to our members. There are 7 recommendations, major recommendations, and they're in the field of jobs and economic development, the environment, criminal justice, distribution of wealth, education, tolerance and equity, and the labor movement in general. And so this, again, this publication is not meant to be the end-all and be-all, and it's not a one-stop solution. The general premise of the document is to at least engage folks so that we can start the process. It is not being presented as the only solution, but again, the intent is to kind of kickstart the revitalization of the labor movement. So for our listeners who've just joined us, this is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionist segment of Labor Radio here on KBOO, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our intended guest was Dr. Loretta Johnson, who's the Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers. And our general conversation today was going to be about a new publication called A Future for Workers, A Contribution from Black Labor. And so Dr. Terrell and I are discussing the document. Apparently, Dr. Johnson was not able to be with us today. And so, again, we're kind of giving you some highlights of what the document says.
And while we're just, hopefully we can interject that the president and I just attended the International Executive Board meeting in Las Vegas, where it was just so rewarding, where we discussed so many different things and how the labor movement was addressing various subject matters. And I know we don't have the time to cover them all, but is there some comments you have about the executive board meeting that we had? I know we talked about the restructuring the mission statement, and we were very successful in doing that. We were allowed, the attendees at the executive board meeting had the opportunity to voice their ideas, their focus on what the mission statement and the vision statement should be for the International Coalition of Black Trade Unions. And some of the things the body brought up was about empowering people. And did you hear, remember any other things that they were talking about?
Well, our overall mission statement is that we work on behalf of all black workers, not just union workers, but all black workers. Because what we understand that those who work in the private sector, they may have a harder row to toe, given that they are not given the same protections that we have as union members. And so again, we talked about expanding our mission.
In addition, at the executive board meeting, we were talking about race, how that should be more part of our discussion, and how we can implement that not only at our national level, but in our statewide level of talking about race. People need to start talking about race. It's a serious issue, and we need to talk. And every organization, every community organization, should find ways to do such that is to have an open dialogue on that. and just as we see on the news today, and I just want to bring it out because it's real, and that's that agreement, that trade agreement. And all the particulars I don't have in front of me, but I do know we as the labor movement, because I worked in the auto industry, and when NAFTA went through, I was a part of it when they closed the plant in Fremont, California, and they went to Mexico, and over 4,500 people were out of jobs. So I went through that horrific experience of being out of a job working at General Motors. So now there's another trade agreement that's in front of us, and that we too as a labor movement should take seriously about if you're going to support or not support. And it's submitted by our president, but many of us have been affected by that those trade agreements. It sure is, it says that it will bring more jobs to America, but I haven't seen it. Seems like all jobs are going overseas. What are your thoughts, Madam President?
Well, I think you're right. I, too, am skeptical about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And unfortunately, it appears as though they have a deal today. And we, as the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, we will continue to air what we believe to be as not a good deal. We are very concerned about worker rights. We're concerned about jobs leaving America. We're concerned about what kind of impact that will have on already stated laws that protect workers here. So, Dr. Terrell, you talked about how race has resurfaced. And so the publication also talks about what is called a new racism, and it suggests that there are populations that simply cannot get along and must live separately. And so again, that is really poignant, in that if we're all going to survive, if we're all going to regenerate the labor movement, then we all need to be on the same page. And so again, this publication just puts it out there. I know these are things that people feel uncomfortable in talking about, but again, in order for us to revitalize what's happening here in America, we really do need to have this basic conversation. The document talks about the new racism repeats the stance of old racism, and implying or stating outright that certain populations are inferior or otherwise dispensable. And again, when we look at today's youth, if we are not doing our part and making them a part of the solution instead of saying that they're the problem, then we won't survive. The whole idea of being a union activist is to help others. The whole idea of being a union activist is to help our communities. The whole idea of being a union activist is to train others to come in behind us in order to preserve the rights and regulations and the benefits that we have worked so hard to get. And so if we do not do that, if we continue along the path of separating people out of the haves and the have-nots, or those that are undesirable, then there is no way that we're going to be able to revitalize the labor movement and stand tall as part of the 99%.
Again, this booklet has tremendous amount of information for us to think on, and we do hope that Dr. Johnson will be able to be with us to elaborate on some points that was written in this particular book. As we were looking over the authors of the A Future for Workers, a contribution from Black Workers, the people that wrote this are a variety through the labor movement. You know, you have people from everywhere, from the teachers to the let's look at the list of people. You have Bill Fletcher, who's been writing on Black historians for years. And you have, of course, Bill Lucy is there. And, of course, he's a walking testament as to the advancement of Black workers. So you have the information in this booklet comes from a wide a variety of people that bring so much, so we can think things that we can think on, that we can move on, so we can do the things that's necessary for the survival of the labor movement. We also want to reiterate about in this book, hoping that you will certainly get a copy. I just wrote my dissertation on Black women's and unions, and I wish I had seen this copy prior to that, because there's so many thought items in here. When you're talking about the LGBT community, just a variety of information that gives a wealth of information that gives us what direction we should be going in now. And I do hope that as we go to the AFL-CIO meeting in Seaside coming
up. The AFL-CIO convention.
Excuse me. That it's some of these things can be part of the conversation. So there are things needed to increase the movement, to our labor movement. So I hope that we can share at the and also submit resolutions from a coalition of Black trade unionists that can be supportive of the labor movement here in Oregon. All the jobs, I heard someone says that if you want a job, go to the Pacific Northwest. It is, it's a strong labor. It's a strong labor part of the country. And I just want to be able to stand strong in some ethics that can make the labor movement continue to be strong and move forward. So this booklet has a lot to do with that. It brings out a lot of thought items that I certainly hope we can bring forward as we attend the AFL-CIO meeting in Seaside in a couple of weeks.
So Dr. Terrell has talked about the AFL-CIO convention, and a guest will be a gentleman named Fred Redman. Fred is the chairman of the board of directors for A. Philip Randolph Institute. And it's my impression, Dr. Terrell and I saw Fred over last weekend at the CBTU regional meeting, and he indicated to us that he is coming to the AFL-CIO Seaside Convention, and he's coming specifically to talk about this publication. He's coming as a guest of Tom Chamberlain, who is the president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. And so we are really, really looking forward to having Fred Redman come and, again, expound on what the intent of the document is. Again, it is not a end-all to be-all. It's not a document that answers all of the questions. It's a document that was put together to at least start asking the question. These are questions that are not normally handled. And so the list of Black activists that we read off in the beginning, the authors, are all union activists, and they see it as their role, and this is their part in trying to help rejuvenize the labor movement.
I'm looking forward to that. It's just so good when we attend these meetings and get to see the founders of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, like Bill Lucy, and they can answer questions that just solidifies why we do what we do. And as I was talking to the president earlier, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, it's all Black workers and unions. You know, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a state worker, federal worker, correctional officer, truck drivers. You also have bus drivers. It's just an opportunity for us to come together and stand firm. And again, it's said in this booklet, the new labor movement is a voice for justice and equity. It's not just for getting jobs. It's an opportunity to say what we need as Black workers for fairness. And in this day and time, as you can look in the news, try every day, there's something there that requires some social justice, requires a voice from labor. And this is a vehicle, an arm that we can use to do just that, to voice our opinion, to move. We can come together as a working group and do the things that's necessary. Not only maintain a good job, a well-paying job, but also have a voice for those who can't speak for themselves.
So as Dr. Terrell said, we are in the process of trying to re-energize the labor movement. And the only way we do that is to let the new workers who are coming up, let them know exactly what we have fought for, how we have fought for it, and why it's important that we maintain that. And this new tenet of justice is actually something that, you know, it is always there, but it is more prevalent now because now we have a clear divide between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, I am a proud member for over 40 years of being in a union. It has done so much for my life and my family. And proud to, even though I'm retired, I feel a sense of commitment to continue the work and educating others on the importance of being in a union. And I tell my family members, get in a union, not only for the security, for the pension, or for the pay scale, but also for the acknowledgement of what's the rights for worker rights.
So again, thank you for listening today, and I issue my apologies that Dr. Loretta Johnson was not able to make it with us tonight. We will be in contact with her because we would really like for you to hear her views regarding education and what's happening with this turn of events as far as the country going global. And so that indeed has an impact of which we need to be able to respond to. So again, thank you very much for joining us here on Labor Radio, CBTU. Holla!
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 6th Annual Teaching with Purpose Conference on October 9th and 10th at Park Rose Middle School, located at 11800 Northeast Shaver Street, Portland, Oregon. The Teaching with Purpose Conference provides information, tools, and materials relating to culturally responsive teaching. The conference aims to address legislation relating to culturally responsive education in Oregon and around the country. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under